We're holding on Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Continuing on topics of Gneva and Gzela, the Mishnah says, Hamakir Kelev Usfarav Biyat Acher, if a person recognizes his own Kelim or his own Sfarim in somebody else's hands, now he's claiming that they were stolen and that he didn't yet have Yush. Meanwhile, the other guy might well say that I bought them legitimately. The Yotza Lo Shem Gneva Be'ir, and there's a report going around in the city that he, in fact, has been robbed, that things have, in fact, been stolen from him. So he's entitled to them back. Yishovel Lekeach Kamenosan V'Yito. So therefore, the Lekeach would swear to him how much he paid for them, and then the owner can get them back. So he doesn't have a claim to get them back because he's saying, based on the report that he was robbed, that these are in fact stolen goods, and therefore, as we're going to see in the Gemara, he does have the right to get them back. However, he would have to pay for them, because after all, the other guy legitimately paid for them. We'll see in the Gemara about something called Takonas Ashuk, that the Chachamim made a rule in order to make it, because you want people to be able to buy and sell things without having to be concerned all the time. Yeah, but this is what I'm buying might be stolen goods without me knowing it, and then I'm going to have to forfeit it. So therefore, the Chachamim are going to say that he is entitled to compensation from the owner, rather than having to go to the Ganav himself and get compensation from him. So we'll see about that in the Gemara. So first the owner has to swear that there in fact is, and then first the Lekeach has to swear how much he paid, and then he can collect that from the owner, and the owner gets back his Kalim with Sparim. The Imlav, and if not, if there's no shame Gneva Be'ir, Loy Kol Heimenu, then we don't believe the Balabas to say that it's stolen goods. Shani Omer Machron Achav Lochan Zehimenu, because it's equally possible that he sold them legitimately, and the other guy bought them legitimately. So therefore, then we wouldn't even make the other guy take a shvua. If he wants his things back, then he's going to have to pay for them. Then he's going to have to pay for them whatever the other guy wants for them, because we have to consider that they may well be legitimately his. There is a point that's made over here. Tosfos makes a point over here that, first of all, obviously, again, we are talking about before Yirush. If it was after Yirush, there's already Yirush and Shinu Rishus, the other guy wouldn't be obligated to return it at all. Tosfos goes on to say that the reason why we're mentioning Sforim here, particularly, why not just say Kalev, why mention Kalev with Sforim, is because Sforim, a person is much less likely to have Yirush on. If the thieves were Goyim, he's certainly not Miyayish, because a Goy, what's he going to do with these Sforim? Most likely, he's going to go find a Yid to sell them to. And more to the point, even with Kalim, Tosfos points out, we learned on Amud Aleph, we learned yesterday, that the Goyim don't require the same standards of evidence in their courts as Lahavdo we do in ours, and therefore the Yid might have less Yush, and all the more so with Sfarim, where he knows they're going to end up by a Yid. So we are talking about before Yush, and we're saying, though, that he's entitled to get reimbursed by the owner, because, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, Takonas Ashuk. There is more discussion about this as well. Why can't the guy who has these things say have a migri, basically, why don't we say the other way around? The owner should, the original owner, the person who's claiming them, should say that I have a migri. He could claim that I lent them out in the first place. So Rashi elsewhere explains, actually, that we're not talking about all svarim over here. We're talking about the type of svarim that are not regularly used, and therefore, in fact, people regularly lend them out, as opposed to, so in other words, there's a difference between svarim that are regularly lent out and ones that are not, or difference being that we're talking about a person who's not known to regularly lend out his things. And there's other answers as well. So the Gemara says, "V'chiyotze l'shem gneva be'ir, my happy." So what if there's a report in town that he was robbed? Leichus Dilma Zabnihu, after all, shouldn't we have to be concerned that he himself sold them and they were never, yeah, there's a rumor that they were stolen. That doesn't mean that rumor is true. But who knew? Kamapik Shma. On the contrary, he may be the one spreading that rumor. He may be the one claiming to his friends, where then his friends will tell other friends, etc. And pretty soon it'll be talked about in town that Pliny has been robbed, and really he wasn't robbed at all. Really, he just wants an excuse to be able to undo the sale that he did. So the answer is Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. It's not just talking about there's a coil. You're talking about that there were people in his house, the Omad staying over, let's say, the Omad Behifkin Balaila, and all of a sudden one night he gets up and starts crying out in the streets, the Omad Nidnu Kalai, and he says that and he starts yelling out, my Kalim was stolen. So now, so we're not talking about Stam in the middle of the day, he's talking with his friends. We're talking about that actually right there, in the middle of the night, he starts raising an alarm. On the contrary, all the more so, he might have found himself an excuse to do that, to claim that he wants to be able to claim that things were stolen from him in order to be able to then change his mind and get his items back at the original price. So what makes us say we should believe him? This, by the way, might be an example of the kind of thing that the Gemara was talking about on Amud Aleph, where a Jewish Beistin is going to do things one way, and a Goyish court, Lahavdil, might do things differently. A Goyish court might not think into it this far. They might say, look, you know, the guy's raising an alarm in the middle of the night. He must be true. Whereas our Bate Dinim are going to be more careful about it, because we know how people are likely to try to take advantage of things and try to make up stories and whatever. So how does that give him the right to demand back his things from the other person? So the answer is Rav Kahana Masayim B'Mishmei D'Rav. So Rav Kahana continues explaining in the name of Rav. We're not just, Rabbi Huda had said in the name of Rav that we're talking about that people were staying in his house and then he started crying out at night. Rav Kahana says Rav had given more detail. There's actually a tunnel dug out of his house, so they escaped through the tunnel. And the people who were staying overnight in his house had gone out. And there were bags, bundles of kalim on their shoulders, and similarly svarim. And everybody's saying, look, Pliny's kalim was stolen. So now he has a valid, now when that rumor is going around town that in fact he was robbed, then there's good reason for it, because now we have sworn, now we see there's a hole dug in the side of his house, etc. So now we can say that what he's saying, that he was robbed, really is true. Hadvaris HaGra has a slightly different gusa over here. Instead of Hakol Omrim Nignavu Kalim Shel Pliny, instead of everybody says that these kalim were that everybody was saying that Pliny's kalim was stolen. In fact, if people are saying, everybody's saying, these are Pliny's kalim. People can actually see people running out of there, and they say, hey, those are Pliny's kalim. So the Gemara asks, "V'duma kalim havu svarim lihavu?" Still, he's claiming both kalim and svarim. Maybe only kalim was stolen, svarim were not. And the answer is, "Amar apriva abba amar yechner kandu kami nami svarim." Fine, they're saying kalim and svarim. Still, v'leifu shduma zutri v'katoyin rav ribi. Still, what if it was small kalim stolen from him, and now he's claiming that it was big ones, and now again, so he sees, so let's say, for example, a small lamp, let's say, was stolen from him. He meanwhile sees a lamp that somebody else has, and he says, hey, that's my lamp, and really, because he wants to be able to get it, if he wants to be able to force the other guy to give him his big lamp, and he'll pay him for it. And the answer is Amar Rav Yosi bar Hanina, the Kami Sefer Pliny or Pliny. We're talking about the people actually identify the Sfarim by name. Still, you could have that he had old svarim, and now he's falsely claiming that there's new ones. And the answer is Amar Rav kagun de Amri halolu kalev shel Pliny halolu svarim shel Pliny. We're talking about not just that people are saying that this guy was robbed; they're actually identifying and saying that these are Pliny's kalim and these are Pliny's svarim. So in other words, and so again, according to Agoris Agro, the Gemara hasn't really changed its mind all along. It was saying that people recognize the kalim. So now the Gemara has clarified that that's what it means. They recognize these are the actual kalim, and therefore, so now there's no concern that, for example, he's claiming falsely a Kali that didn't belong to him, because people actually recognized the actual Kalim that these robbers were carrying, and therefore now he has a strong claim to actually get them back. So the Gemara asks, still, Miyama Rav, still, did Rav say that these people would be responsible to, that we would say that they, that, so what do we have, in other words? We're saying that the person who ended up buying them from the Ganav has not really been koina them, because the Ganav himself wasn't koina them yet. The owner didn't have Yush. So therefore, so when he sells it to somebody else, it's also not considered a valid sale. Therefore, the owner has the right to get them back, provided that he reimburses them again for, because of Takonas Ashok, as we're going to talk about later. But the question is, did Rav really say that? Doesn't Rav himself say that actually, in a certain sense, the Gazlan, who actually goes, who's Baba Machteris, who tunnels into a house and robs like that, is actually coined the things that he stole. Rav says that if a person is Baba Machteris, a person tunnels into a house to steal. Now, we know the Torah says that the Balabas is allowed to kill him, Ein Loi Domim, because he's coming on Iskei Nefoshes, because he knows that he's ready to kill if the Balabas stands up against him. So if a person comes from Machteris, from Noto Kalim V'yotza, and he takes Kalim and he goes out, Potter, then he's actually Potter from having to return them. My time of the dummy Kanonhu, because he was coining them with his own blood. Because when he stole them, so it's kind of like Kamle Vidirabimine. It's basically another application of Kamle Vidirabimine, because he's Chayav Nissa, because in principle the Balabas would have been allowed to kill him. Therefore, now he can't be Chayav. To pay the actual thing back.
But Machteris is a different case than.
So here we're talking about two. They were guests, but then they tunneled out and left. But still, apparently the Gemara is assuming.
So the Machteris even they were guests.
Apparently the Gemara is assuming that even though they were guests, even though they came in legitimately, since when they're leaving, they have in mind we're tunneling through the wall. The Balabas finds us and then confronts us. So one second. So Rav is saying that they're potter. Now, the fact is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, when it discusses this, brings an opinion of Rava that says that actually it's true they would be potter from paying, but only when the object itself no longer exists. So if they ate it or they whatever, then they would be potter from paying the value on the basis of what Rav is saying. But if the actual item exists, then they still have to return it. Here the Gemara is asking, within Rav's own opinion over there, who doesn't draw that distinction. Rav himself says they'd be potter in either case. So the question is, granted we have a report in the city that he was robbed. Granted we have people who actually saw people running out of the house, carrying Kalim, etc. But the fact is that those Gazlonim were actually koinet, because those Ganovim were actually koinet based on what Rav is saying. So how now does the Balabas have the ability to go to the people who bought it from them and demand it back and then demand it back?
Okay.
And the answer is exactly the distinction that you made. The difference is that there's a difference whether he comes from Machteris when he tunnels into the house in the first place. The Me'ikra Mosa Nafshalaktola, where to begin with he's Moisa Nefesh in a negative way, that he's ready to be killed, he's ready to kill or be killed and take whatever he wants. So he's the kind who's coin of the things with Gneva. Abelhani, but these people, given the Lemuster and Nafshayolaktala, here now, so in the Habam, you know, the Gemara was understanding that it's the same thing, whether they tunneled into the house, or whether, like you said, they were Shabbos guests, and then they left through a tunnel. Here the Gemara is saying, no, there is actually a difference. They didn't come to begin with to kill, they came originally as guests. Loi, so therefore the same rule doesn't apply. The Balabas would not have the right to kill them if he confronts them, because we don't assume that they came al iskei nefoshes, because the very fact that they came to begin with and posed as guests means that they're afraid, means they're not so ready to go and attack the homeowner, to attack the Balabas. Therefore, we don't say that they were koina anything, so therefore we're back to that since the owner wasn't miyayish yet, then therefore he's entitled to them back, whether from the Ganovim or from the people that the Ganovim sold to, and therefore that brings us to our Mishnah that he is entitled to take the guy to Beis Din and get back his things. However, the Gemara says, Omar Rava, lo shanu ela balabais ha'osir limko kelev. this detail that we need. So what do we have so far? So Rav is saying, based on everything that we said so far, that you need a very, very detailed report in order for the rules of our Mishnah to apply. You actually need people to be recognized, to be saying, look at that, there's a hole tunneled out of this guy's house, and we actually saw people going out with Kalim and Sfarim, and we recognize that these are the very Kalim and these are the very same Kalim and the very same Sfarim that this guy is claiming. Now, Rava says, though, that Lo Shanu, this that needs to be this detailed, is only Ela Balabais also Limko Kalim. Only when it's a Balabas who often sells his Kalim, often sells his personal items to raise money or whatever. So now there's a concern that he might have actually sold them, and now he wants to claim that they were stolen in order to get them back. So therefore we have to have such a detailed report in order to counteract that. But when you have a balabas who's not been known in the past to sell his kalim, then Rava says the report doesn't have to be quite so detailed. It would be enough, for example, that they found that there was a tunnel dug out of his house, and people say that his kalim and sfarim was stolen. We don't have to have that they recognize this particular kalim. And so Rashi says they don't have to say safe or plain or plain. Implying, in other words, Rashi is saying they do have to, with the rest of the report still has to be the same, regardless. But at least they don't have to recognize and say that it was this particular safer and that particular safer. Agos HaGrod brings that the Rambam holds that it means that it's actually as far as all of that. Everything that Rav was saying about the detailed report would not apply as far as when he's not also Limker as Caleb, then you have that it's enough that he claims that it was stolen, because we don't know this person to regularly have been selling his things. So the question is why? Even a person who doesn't regularly sell his things, it might happen that punked one time he needed money and so he sold them. So Rav says, okay, but the fact is there is a shame gneva be'ir, and that together with everything that went on so far, so the fact, in other words, so Rav Ashi is saying, in this case, because there was a shame gneva be'ir, then therefore, and he's not also limkeres kalim, this person does not regularly sell his kalim, therefore we have very strong reason to assume that he is telling the truth and that these items were actually stolen. As opposed to, if we know that this is a person who regularly sells his things, then that's not good enough, because he might be falsely claiming that they were stolen in order to get his things back. So therefore, then we require the actual very detailed report that Rav was describing over there. So the Rambam summarizes it when he brings the halacha. He brings, if he's not also limker as Caleb, then, and there's a shame gneva, then that's enough. Or if he's also limker and he points out also, that Rambam explains also, you can have, these Caleb are Asurian lahashal or haskir. These are things that are regularly lent out or rented out. So now he has a very strong claim. They're in somebody else's hands, and I never rented or lent them out to him. So therefore, then the other guy would have to swear. If also limkeres Caleb, if the owner regularly sells personal effective is, and it's not Dvarim Asurim Lahashal Lahaskir, then you're going to have, then you're going to have the very detailed report that Rav was describing. The Ravid, in fact, disagrees about the case where the Dvarim Asurim Lahashal Lahaskir, and points out that in that case, you don't need a Shem Gneva, then all you have to have is, the Shem Gneva will help. The other guy doesn't have, then all that'll help is the Balabas now doesn't have to swear that he will not have to swear that he didn't rent them out, etc., because they're Dvarim Asurim Lahashal Lahaskir. So you have some discussion about the exact parameters of this halacha, but the point is there is the case, like the Mishnah is saying, where he is entitled to get his things back. Okay. So now let's talk about this din more. Itmar, ganav u'mocher. What if a ganav stole something and sold it to somebody else? Now, by the way, we're going to talk about, at the end of the Masechta, we're going to talk about, you're not allowed to. If you know that something is stolen, you're not allowed to buy it from the ganav, because that encourages the ganav to steal again. After all, a ganav, usually when he steals something, it's not that he needs it for himself or he wants it for himself. Most of the time, it's that he wants to fence it. He wants to resell it to somebody else and get the money. So therefore, if nobody buys from him, then that gives it, that discourages him from stealing. So we're going to talk about at the end of the Masechta that you're not allowed to. But nevertheless, here we're talking about somebody did, which you could have, of course. You know, you can have different cases. You can have where you didn't even know the guy was a ganav in the first place, as the Gemara is going to talk about further on. Anyway, so ganav, a person stole, a ganav amacha, a person stole something and sold it to somebody else. V'achak ha'chukar ha'ganav, later on we recognized that he was a ganav, but later on we arrested the ganav, and now the owner wants his thing back. So who does he have to go to get reimbursed? So Rab Mishmei de Rabchi Amahadinim Adrishin, Rab Yechan Mishmei de Rabyanu Amahadinim Hashem. So you have Machloikas, does he have to go and take the ganav to Beis Din? Adinim Arishin would be, in other words, that if he wants to be reimbursed, he needs to take that ganav to Beis Din. If he takes the other guy to Beis Din, the one who bought the thing, then he's not his Baal Din. The other guy can say, I'm not required to go to a Din Torah with you because I didn't do anything with you. If you want it back from me, then go ahead and pay. Rather than saying, even though Hukar Aganav, even though now he knows that he bought it from Aganav, we're not going to say, well, you have to return it. And then you, the buyer, are going to have to go bring the Ganav to a Din Torah to get reimbursed for what you paid him for it. No, it's not going to be that way, says Rav in the name of Rav Chiya. On the other hand, Rav Yechanan is saying in the name of Rav Yana, Hadinim Hasheni, that no, the Balabas can go directly to the Lekeach and then require him to give back the Kalim without paying. And then the Lekeach will take the Ganav to Beis Din to get reimbursed. So Omer Rav Yosef, Veloy Pligi. So Rav Yosef says they're not actually Loy Pligi. They're not actually arguing. Kam Lifnei Yush, Adinim Hasheni, Kam Acho Yush, Adinim Arishin. It depends whether we're talking about before or after Yush. Before Yush, then yes, he would have the right to go and take the second one to a Din Torah, because after all, it belongs to him, and he wasn't yet Miyash, and therefore, Now we're going to discuss in the Gemara the point of Takonas Ashuk, but that's going to be Takonas Ashuk again means you want to make people willing to buy things without having to constantly be concerned. It might be stolen goods and they're going to have to give it back for free. But here, once Hukar Aganav, once we found the Ganav, then the Lekeach is not in such a bad way. If he had bought something and he doesn't know whether the, so the case of our Mishnah, in other words, is where It's known in town that Reuben was robbed. So he goes and finds his Caleb and Sfarim in Levi's hands, and he recognizes them with all of the conditions that we said before. And he says to Levi, hey, those are my Caleb and Sfarim. You must have, the guy you bought them from stole them from me. So then we're saying that Levi is entitled to, so Levi does have to give them back, but Reuben does have to swear that, Levi has to swear how much he paid for them, and that he's entitled to reimbursement for that. Here we're talking about Hukar Aganav. Here we're talking about, we find out who the Ganav was. We know that it was Shimon, and therefore, so now Levi is not stuck. If he gives back the things for free to Reuben, then he's not stuck. He's able to take Shimon to Beis Din and get reimbursed for what he bought from him that was stolen. So Rav Yosef is saying that if before Yush had Dinim Hasheni, then he would be entitled to take Levi, Reuven would be entitled to take Levi to Beis Din and get back his items for free. And then if Levi wants money for them, because after all he paid money, then he's going to go to Shimon, from whom he bought it from in the first place.
Why does he have to take him to Beis Din? I could just get the
money. Well, obviously, if he's willing to pay without Beis Din, then there's no problem. But we're talking about if Levi is saying, what are you talking about, Reuven? I bought these things fair and square. What do you want from me? So then,
at the end of the day, he says, just pay him back, and then you go to Beis Din.
Again, if he's willing to do that, then fine. But if not, then this is what Beis Din is for. But Kan La'achal Yush had Dinim Arishin, as opposed to if Reuven had had Yush, then had Dinim Arishin, then he would have to, then since he was already Miyash, so therefore, so, and Rashi explains, we're talking about whether he bought it from the Ganav before or after the owner's Yush. So if Reuven was not yet Miyash when Levi bought it from Shimon, then he has the right to go to Levi. But if by the time Levi bought it from Shimon, Reuven had already been Migash, then Hadim Adishan, then Reuven, if he wants his thing back, is going to have to go to the first one. He's going to have to go to the Ganav because the Lekeach already bought the thing. He already has Yush and Shinu Rishus. So he owns it. He may not even be required to give it back at all, even for pay, because he can say, look, I bought this fair and square. The Ganav, you want your money back, then you're going to have to go to the Ganav. The Tavayu Isla Hujer of Chista and Rabbi Yosef points out both Rabbi Yochanan, and it comes out that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rav agree with Rabbi Chista's explanation at the beginning of the Perek, namely when we had the case at the beginning of the Perek where Hagozel Machalas Bonham, somebody stole something and gave it to his children to eat, and we had a case over there related to that. Where a person stole and the owner did not yet have Yush, and then he, and then somebody else came and ate the thing. So Rav Chista had said, Rotzim is a goiver, Rotzim is a goiver. He has the option, the Balabas has the option of going and collecting either from the original Ganav or from the one who ate it. So the same way over here, even though Levi paid the Ganav, he's still considered in that sense a Gazlan. So where there's no hooker at Ganav, then we have Takonas Ashuk, and we're going to allow him to collect from Reuven what he paid for it. But hooker at Ganav, then he has to return it, and then he's going to have to go to get his money back from the Ganav. But again, only if the owner was not Miyayesh. If he was Miyayesh already, then he can say, I bought it legitimately and it's mine now, and you don't have the right to it back at all. And if you want to be reimbursed for what was stolen for you, go to the Ganav. So both of them hold like Rav Chista's din about that case where Shimon stole something and then Levi came and ate the thing, where we said both Shimon and Levi are considered gazlonim and he can collect from either one of them. Similarly over here. Omalei Abaya Bolet Pligi. So Abaya says, you tell to Rabbi Yosef, you're telling me that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are not actually arguing about which one, when they say which one you have to go after, it depends whether Lifnei Yush or La'achal Yush. Matnas Kahuna ki Lifnei Yush Dami. Consider the case of Matnas Kahuna, the Zroya L'chayayim B'keva, which have to be given to a Kohen. A Kohen is not Miyayish from them. And Upligi, and yet we find a machloikas about it. The Tznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Cholin, Omalei Mechurli Me'eha Shapara, a person says to a butcher, sell me the kishkis of this cow, Bahoyu Behen Matonis, and included in the kishkis is the keva, is the one of the three parts that goes to the koyin. You have the Zroya L'chayayim the keva. The front right leg, the jaws and then the jaws and tongue of the animal and the keva, the fourth stomach. I've seen in English where somebody translated them in English in a rhyming way as the jaw, the maw, and the paw. Anyway, whatever. The point is here we're talking about it contains the maw, it contains the caper. So then, noisna la koyin ve'ina manaka lemin adomin, the buyer has to give that caper to the koyin. He cannot deduct any money. He cannot say to the butcher, yeah, but you sold me something that's not mine because that I'm not going to end up being able to keep because he should realize that that's in there. On the other hand, loka chaymenu b'mishko. But on the other hand, if he bought by weight, if he said, "I want you to sell me 10 pounds of meat," and included in it as the keva, then no sell the koyin. He still has to give the keva to the koyin. But now he's entitled to go back to the butcher and say, "I should have to pay less because you sold me something that's not yours." The Omar Rav and Rav says Loishanu Elisha Shokol Atzmai, that this din would only apply only if he waited out for himself, this is the second case where we're saying if he bought it by weight, that then, in other words, what do we mean? The Koyin is able to take the keva from him Baal Korchai, and then the Lekeach is going to go to the butcher and demand his money back only when he waited himself. I will Shokol Atzmai. But if the butcher waited out for him, hadinim atabach, then the butcher has the right of things in halacha. Now the koyin cannot get it back from the lekeach because now if the koyin wants to go and get reimbursed, he has to go to the butcher. So the point is, in other words, it fits with what Rav is saying over here. The butcher himself is considered like the Ganav Rishon, the Lekeach is considered like Ganav Sheni, and yet And yet Rav is saying that if the butcher is the one who weighed out the meat, where therefore he was the gazlan by weighing out 10 pounds of meat that included a keva, which he should have separated out to give to the kohen, then he's the ganav rishon, the lakeach is the ganav sheni, and according to Rav, who does the kohen have to go to? The ganav rishon, the butcher. So therefore, Rav does disagree with Rav Yochanan, and he does disagree with Rav Chisda, and he says that even before Yirsh, then we would still say Hadinim Arishin, not like Rav Yosef is saying. So the answer is, the answer is, we don't mean that he can exclusively go to the butcher. We mean he could either way, he could go to either one. He could go to the butcher, or he could go to the final buyer. So yes, he could go and demand from the buyer, because after all, the buyer had bought it before Yush, because again, we said there's no Yush when it comes to the Matnas Kahuna, so that would be exactly what Rav Chisda is saying. And the reason why Rav has to tell us, you could think that the Matnas Kahuna, that the whole concept of Zela doesn't happen to them, because they should be considered, they're Hashem's property wherever they are, and he gives them to the Kohenim. So it shouldn't matter who weighed out the meat. Either way, the Kohen should be able to go only to the buyer, Kamash Malan. Therefore, Rav is telling us that no, Matnas Kahuna, there is a concept of Gezel that applies to them, and therefore the Kohen could instead choose to go to the butcher and demand that the butcher pay him for it. But nevertheless, he could also go to the Lekeach, which is exactly what Rav Chisda was saying at the beginning of the Perek, Rotzim Yizeh Goyver. So it comes out that Rav would actually agree with Rav Chisda, and so does Rav Yochanan, and therefore, as Rav Yosef is saying, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are not actually arguing. Okay, well, the question is, Abaya evidently didn't hold of that distinction because he was asking the question to Rabbi Yosef, so he evidently understood that it meant that he has to go to the butcher himself. So according to Abaya, what would be the underlying machloikas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? And the answer is Bidder of Chista, precisely that. Do we accept Rav Chisda's din of Gozal Vanisiashua Bailim, where Shimon stole something from Reuven, and Reuven had not yet had Yirush, and then Levi came and took that thing from Shimon and ate it? According to Rav Chisda, both of them are considered Gazlonim, and Reuven can go and take either one of them to Beis Din and get reimbursed. So if we say that Rav holds like that, then that would be how Rav Yosef explained it. Abaya would explain Rav to be saying not like Rav Chisda, and therefore that no, only Hadinim Arishon, that only he, the only one he could go to would be Shimon, the actual thief, and not Levi who took it and ate it. So that was going to Abaya, that would be the machlokes. Rav Zvid says a different answer. You can be talking about that the owner had Yush after it already reached the hands of the Lekeach, after Levi already bought it, but not when it was still in Shimon's hands. So the Machloikas would be as follows. Rav Yochanan holds, when we say that Yush and Shinu Rishus are koina, it has to be in that order. First Yush, then Shinu Rishus. So here you have the other way around, because you have Shinu Rishus. First it was bought by Levi, only then did the owner have Yush, according to Rav Yochanan, and that wouldn't work. Yush v'achakach Shinu Rishus kani, Shinu Rishus v'achakach Yush lo kani. So if there was Yush first and then Shinu Rishus, that is a valid kinyan. But here where there was Shinu Rishus and then Yush, then it's not a valid kinyan, and therefore Rav Yochanan would say that the second one, that Levi is also considered a Gazlan, and therefore Reuven has the right to go directly after Levi. Omar Sava, Loishna, whereas Rav would hold there's no difference, that either way doesn't matter when the Yush was, either way there's Yush and there's Shinu Rishus, therefore Levi already has full possession of the thing, and the only thing he can do is go after Shimon, the actual thief. Okay. Rav Papa gives a different answer. It depends what kind of stolen item we're talking about. The glimmer to kula amale pligi. When you're talking about a beged, for example, and you're talking about the value, and you're talking about the actual beged itself being returned, the kula amale pligi, the hoda lamare, everybody is going to agree that it has to be returned to the owner because it still exists be'ein. So it has nothing to do. In other words, Rashi says, so it's not a matter of whether there was yish or not. When there was no yish, then everybody would agree. That he can go after the second one who currently owns it. But it depends, says your papa. That was Rav Zvidim said that. But Rav Zvidim said it's not a matter that there was Yush. We're talking about there was Yush only after the other guy bought it. Rav Papa says a different answer. Rav Papa is saying that we're talking about it is in fact before Yush. They both agree with Rav Chista that Rotzen is Egoiva, Rotzen is Egoiva. He could collect from either one that he wants. So now, when it's a glima, when it's a garment, and you're going to be returning the actual item itself, the Kula Amalek, Pligi, the Hodra, the Mare, everybody's going to agree that the buyer, that Levi, is going to have to return it to Reuven. And then if he wants to get paid for it, he's going to have to go after Shimon. So the machloikas would be when we're talking about that he bought it, he didn't know that it was stolen. So we have takonas ashuk. The chachamim made a takona in order that people should be able to buy and sell. So what we mean is there a concept of so no question, in other words, that he goes to the lekeach and demands his thing back. But the question is, who is the lekeach getting reimbursed from? Rab Meshmed Rav Chiya Omer Hadin Imarishin. So when Rab is saying Hadin Imarishin, he doesn't mean that the Balabas has to go dafka to the Ganev to get reimbursed from him. He means that the Lekeach, Dinah the Lekeach, the Lishkol Zuzim Ganev, it means that the Lekeach is gonna have to get his money from the Ganev, but also by Takonis Ashuk, meaning that in this kind of case, the Chachamim are not going to make Takonis Ashuk. They're not going to make the Takona that, look, you didn't know when you bought it. So therefore, if Reuven wants it back, he's gonna have to pay you. No, we're gonna tell you, look, you have stolen goods in your hand, so therefore you have to return it. So you're gonna have to return it. If you want your money back, go to the gun. When Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yane, Adini Masheni, he doesn't mean that Reuven has to. It doesn't mean that Reuven is entitled to go after Levi. He means that. He means that the Lekeach can go and demand the money from the Balabais. He can say to the Balabais, he can say to Reuven, you want your thing back. You want your thing back. You're the Shady. The Ravid explains it's called the Shady in the sense I never saw you before. I only dealt with Shimon until now. You're the second person I'm dealing with about this item. I bought it from Shimon previously. I didn't know that he was a Ganav. Now it turns out you, Levi, are coming and telling me that yes, you want your thing back. So Rabbi Yochanan is going to say you have to pay me for it. But also by Takanas Ashuk, namely the Chacham made a Takanas Ashuk. Even when Hukar a Ganav, even when we know now who the Ganav is, we're not going to make Levi go after Shimon to collect his money. Rather, he can collect his money from Reuven, and then Reuven is going to have to go after Levi if he wants. So that's the Chonas Ashuk. Because in other words, that makes it that now in the future Shimon will be able to buy things without having to every time worry, am I buying stolen goods? And then I'm going to have to give it up myself, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to have to go to Schlepp to Basin to get my money back.
So Levi just gives it back.
So Levi gives it. So according to Rav, Levi gives it directly to Reuven, and then if Levi wants his money, he has to go after Shimon. According to Rav Yochanan, no, Levi gives it to Reuven, but Reuven has to pay him. So it's similar to our Mishnah, with the difference being, again, in our Mishnah, we didn't have Hukar Aganav, but if Reuven, having paid Shimon for his own item, having paid Levi for his own item, is going to go to Shimon and demand his money back. So the question is, Rav, also by Takonas Ashuk. So you're telling me that when the Ganav is known, then that the Chachamim don't make So Rashi points out there's another Naftamina over here. The bottom line is that all the money is going to be paid off. So what it is, Rashi points out there's two different ways of looking at it. You can look at it as a Sakonas Ashuk. You can also look at it as that that you can say that Levi could say to Reuven, Lav Bal Dvarim Yidiat, what do you want from me? I had nothing to do with you. I didn't buy this from you. I bought it from Shimon. You have a problem, go after Shimon. But Rashi explains that what happens, for example, Shimon stole it, and then somebody else, Levi, came and took it without paying for it. So according to Rav Chista, now if we hold according to Rav Chista's din, that Rotzen is Egoiva, then the Balabas can say, you know what, let me figure out which one is easier to get to Beis Din and which one is easier to get money from, and I'll go after him, as opposed to if we say that Levi could say, La Bal Dvarim Yidiat. In this case, Levi didn't actually buy it. He grabbed it from Shimon and ate it, but if he could say La Bal Dvarim Yidiat, then Reuven would have to specifically go after Shimon, even if it's going to be harder to get the money back from Shimon.
Can you do after you say Bahacha, but Sudo to cancer shook. It's just Kimifligi. Kimifligi Rav.
Wait.
Do that?
We're going to get to it. Yeah. So the question is, that's much further down on the Yomud. Right now we're
really
you're talking about the Hocha Ba'asavet Hashukan Hashashuk Kamiflegi. Okay, yeah. So fine, let's go back and repeat that. So the line begins Lamare. The Hocha Ba'asavet Hashukan Hashashuk Kamiflegi. So the Machlokas is again Hukar Aganev, and we're talking about the not returning the actual item itself. The Glima for sure has to be returned, but what happens as far as Hashukan Hashashuk is Levi, the buyer of that Glima, entitled to be reimbursed? And well, he is entitled to be well, there is reimbursement going to go on over here, but by who? Rav Mishmei the Rechi Omah Adinim Arishin, namely Ginad Lekeach the Lishkol Zuzi Meganav. Levi, if he wants to collect his money, he's going to have to collect it from Shimon the Ganav who sold it to him. The law also by Takanas Hashuk. So we don't apply Takanas Hashuk over there. We say yes, Levi, you bought it. You didn't know that it was stolen. Nevertheless, now that Hukar Aganav, go take Shimon to Beis Din and get the money from him. Namely, the Lekeach is going to have to get his money from the Lekeach can get his money from the Balabayas. The Balabayas, Reuben, is going to come and say, I want my clothing back. So Levi can say, that's fine, but pay me for it. But also by Takonas Ashok, and there is Takonas Ashok involved over here, because we say, look, Levi did buy it innocently. He didn't know that it was stolen goods. And therefore, you can't require him to go to Shimon and get his money back, because that would, Takonas Hashuk would tell us that, that we can't do that, because then that's going to make it very hard for anybody to ever buy anything. They're always going to be nervous. What about if it's stolen goods? And then I'm going to have to give it away for free and then go to Beis Din to get my money back. And I don't want to go through that whole rigmarole. So therefore, Takonas Hashuk tells us that Shimon can say, that Levi can say to Reuben, look, I understand. Fine. You're telling me this was stolen. You want it back. You pay me directly, and that way at least I don't have to go and schlep Shimon to Beis Din. And then if you want your money back, then you take Shimon to Beis Din. So that would be the machlokas, says Rapapa. So the question is, the sover Rav, like also by Takonas Ashuk, so you're telling me Rav does not hold that in this case Takonas Ashuk applies, but Rav Huna Talmidid Rav Hava. We know that Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav, and therefore we can assume when Rav Huna passed in a certain way, then it means that he holds like Rav. And we have a case. Bad Chonon one time stole a garment. Now we had this Chonon Bisha earlier in the Masechta. He had one time punched somebody and Rav Huna made him pay, and Rav Huna made him pay for it. And then he punched the guy again, whatever. But this guy was known to be a bad character. And he Gonav Glima, he stole a garment, the Zabna, and he sold it to somebody else. Also Lakameh de Rav Huna, so the case came to Rav Huna. Omele Lahu Gabra Zil Shori Avitach. And he tells the guy, go release your mashkan. In other words, what he does is he says to the nigzel, to the original owner, Reuven, in our example, go ahead, go pay the guy that Chonon sold it to, which is Levi. So go pay him for it. So we see that Rav Huna is saying that even Hukar Aganav, we know who the Ganav is. In this case, Shimon is this Chonon Bisha, and still Rav Huna is saying to Reuven that if you want your item back from Levi, you have to pay Levi for it. So it's not a matter of, so we see that even when Hukar Aganav, also by Takonas Ashuk, we don't make Levi have to give it back for free to Reuven and then take Chonon Bisha to Beis Din. Rather, he gets his money back on the spot. And we can assume that Rav Huna is following Rav's opinion in that. Zil Shori Avitach, go and release your mashkin. In other words, you want your item back, then you're going to have to pay for it.
Same to the owner.
To the owner, yeah. So the answer is Shiny Chonon Bisha. The difference is with Chonon Bisha, given to Lekali Shalumi Mineh, you're not going to be able to get paid back from him, Kaloi Hukar Dami, so therefore it's like as if the Ganav had not been recognized. In other words, there's no question if Loi Hukar Aganav, that also by Takonas Ashuk, because otherwise it would be impossible for anybody to buy anything, because they're going to say, I don't even know who I bought it from, how am I going to be able to get back my money if I give it to you, Reuven, and therefore we have Takonas Ashuk. And therefore, Reuven, you want your item back, you pay me for it, and then you go find the Ganav. Here, we're Chonon Bisha as a type, you're not going to be able to, Beis Din is not going to be able to force him to pay, so therefore, you're not going to be able to take him to Beis Din in the first place, because he's a violent guy, then therefore, it's the equivalent of Loi Hukar Aganav. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rava, im ganav mefursim hu. Now, if the guy is a well-known ganav, and it's well-known that he steals, and therefore that, there's a high likelihood that whatever you buy from him is stolen goods, loy also by takonas hashuk, then takonas hashuk doesn't apply, and if the original owner comes, then you have to give him the item for free, and then you're gonna, and then if you want your money back, take the ganav to base him, because that's your problem. You knew he was a ganav mefursim, what are you doing buying from him in the first place? So the question is, what do you mean? This case of Chonan Bisha was a well-known guy, but also by Takonas Hashuk, and still Rav Huna applied Takonas Hashuk. The answer is, Nihid Mefursim L'Bishusa. He was known to be a bad guy. He was known to be a violent guy, whatever. L'Gnevusa L'Mefursim. Up to this point, he was not well-known to be a thief. So therefore, when the other guy bought from him, he had no way of knowing that Chonan had stolen this garment, and therefore Takonas Hashuk could apply. Okay. More dinim on the subject, itmar, ganav pora b'choyve. What happens if the ganav stole the thing and used it to pay off a debt? So he previously owed money to somebody, and now he used this item to pay that off. Ganav pora b'hakeyve. We stole and used it to pay off a line of credit that he had at a store. Loy also by takanas hashuk. Takanas hashuk doesn't apply to such things. We say that the person he gave it to is going to have to give it back to the owner and then get reimbursed from the ganim. The amri, we tell them, look, loya daita dahanu yehiva slamidi. Look, to begin with, when you lent him money or you gave him credit at your store, you obviously weren't relying on this thing that he's going to steal. So therefore, so it's different when you paid money for it, then you have takanas hashuk. But here, you didn't actually pay money for it. Another din, mashkanta. What about if the ganav used this item as collateral, as security for a debt? So it depends. Shavi mosin lemeya. If it's worth 200 and he used it to borrow 100, also by takanas hashuk, then takanas hashuk does apply because now we can say the malva is relying on this thing. He didn't know that it was stolen at the time. He's obviously relying on it. It's regular. It's a normal thing to take a mashkin that's worth more than the loan so that you have a certainty that you're going to get back your loan. But shava b'shava, but if the mashkin is worth only exactly as much as the loan, then you have a machlokas. Ameima omer loy also by takanas hashuk, mazutra omer also by takanas hashuk. Then you have a machlokas whether there's takanas hashuk or not. Usually you don't lend money equal to the exact value of the mashkin, so therefore we can say that maybe the malva did not really, it was really that he trusted him. It's not really that he expected that he's going to collect out of the mashkin, because normally over time the mashkin depreciates or whatever, and not necessarily is it going to be worth the full amount. So therefore, he obviously, it's a matter of trusting him and not a matter of relying exclusively on the mashkin, and therefore takanas hashuk shouldn't apply. Mazutra says still takanas hashuk would apply over here. So the hilchsa also by takanas hashuk is in parenthesis over here. Marshal takes it out because at the end the Gemara is going to say what the halacha is like in all these cases. What about Zvina Shava Mashava? What about if the Ganav sold the item to something else? So Shava Mashava, if he sold it for its exact value, also by Takanas Hashuk, then Takanas Hashuk applies, because obviously the other guy meant to pay exclusively for this. Shava Meir B'Masan, but if the other guy overpaid for it and it was worth 100 and he paid 200, then he also have a machlokas. Rav Sheisha Samalei also by Takanas Hashuk. Rav Sheisha says Takanas Hashuk does not apply even as far as the 100, because now we have to assume, obviously, the other 100 he gave him was not the value of the thing. It must have been a matana. The same way, the first 100 that he gave him also, we attribute to a matana, and therefore we say takanas hashuk doesn't apply. You want your money back, you're going to have to get it back from the ganav, but you're going to have to give it back to the original owner. Rava Amar, also by takanas hashuk. Rava says takanas hashuk will apply even for the whole value, the whole 200 that he got. So therefore, so now if Reuven wants to get his thing back, he's going to have to pay 200, and then he's going to have to go to the ganav, and he's going to have to go to the ganav and get reimbursed. And the Gemara says, because it's normal, sometimes people buy things for higher than the normal price. And the Gemara says, v'hilchasa, v'kulu also by takhanas hashuk. In all of the cases we mentioned so far, there is takanas hashuk, levarmi ganav apara b'choy v'ganav apara b'akefai, with the exception of the cases where he used it to pay off a previous loan or a line of credit in a store. There we don't say takanas hashuk, but all the other cases that we were talking about as far as a mashgun and as far as buying, etc., then all of them, the halacha would be that we do takanas hashuk, and the original owner is going to get it back only if he's willing to pay for it. Okay. The Gemara says, Avimi bar Nozi chamur de Rabina, Avimi bar Nozi, who was the father-in-law of Rabina, have a masik bar who gavra abal zuz. There was a person who owed him 4 zuz. Gonav glima. So that guy who owed Avimi the money stole a garment, and he brought it to Avimi to pay off his debt. And Avimi, of course, didn't know that it was stolen. Eventually this guy came again to Avimi to borrow money again, but and Avimi lent him another 4 zuz. And eventually they found out this guy is a ganav. So now now Avimi came to Ravina for a din Torah. By the way, we said Avimi was Ravina's father-in-law. Usually a son-in-law can't judge a din Torah for his father-in-law, but there is a concept of kibluhu aleihet, where both sides accept that he can be a dayan, and that would be the case over here. So Ravina tells him, kamoi ganav apara b'choyv. The first 4 zuz that you got for him for the garment, that's an example, like we said before, of ganav apara b'choyv. There's no takonas ashok. So you don't have to. There's no takonas ashok. So you, the original. So you, the guy who lent him money, don't have to give him anything for that. He doesn't have to give you anything. He doesn't have to give you anything. Meaning, in other words, that again we have. So the situation is that you have the other guy, you have the original owner of the garment is Reuven over here, the ganav over here is Shimon, you Avimi are in the place of Levi. So when it comes to the first 4 zuz, where you don't have to reimburse you don't have to reimburse anybody for the 4 zuz, because again that was ganav apara b'choyv loy also by takonas ashuk. So we say, in other words, that So he doesn't have to give you anything. Rather, you trusted him and you lent him money, obviously not expecting that he's going to steal something, and therefore you're not entitled to your 4 zuz back from him. Hanach abal zuz yachrini. But as far as the other 4 zuz, then there is takonas ashuk shkel zuzach b'hadu glimi. So you're entitled to demand from the owner of the garment, from Reuven, to the 4 zuz, and then give back the garment to him. But maskifot of koyin. But of koyin asks on that the duma glima. Bahani zuzi kamoi yavani ale. Why? Maybe we can say that he gave him the garment just in payment for the original zuz. So therefore, that would be an example of gono poro b'choy, but gono poro b'kei. So fine, in that case, then he's not, so Avimi can't get his 4 zuz back. But abo zuzi basroi, he muni he me. But when it comes to the second 4 zuz, was saying that he trusted him. Maybe we don't say that. It's considered that there was a mashkin. So therefore, we should say it's the same as when he trusted him to begin with. So maybe there's no takonas ashok on either 4 zuz. So you're telling me, Ravina, that he should be entitled to takonas ashok for the second 4 zuz, because after all, in effect, the garment was a mashkin for it, but who says it was a mashkin? Maybe he trusted him in both cases to give him the money. So he galgam milsa motla kameder ababohu. So the matter rolled on. Eventually it reached Rababohu. Omer huchsa kerab koyin, and Rababohu says, yes, the halacha is like Rab Koyin. So therefore, said, no, Avimi cannot. If Avimi wants his 8 zuz back, he's going to have to go to the gazlan. In neither case is he able to go to the nigzal. And the Gemara gives another example. Now, Shah Gonav Sifra, a person from Neresh, a place in Babel, once stole a sefer, Zabne la Papuna, he sold it to another yid from Papuna, Bitmonan Zuzi, he sold it for 80 Zuz. Also, Papuna, Zabne la Bamukhuza, the mayor of Esrin Zuzi. The fellow from Papuna went and sold it to another guy from Mukhuza for 120 Zuz. So here, the guy from Neresh stands in the place of Shimon. He had stolen from Reuven, who's unnamed in the story. He sold it to Levi, and now we have Yehuda as well, where Yehuda bought it from Levi for an even higher price, for 120 zuz. Well, so Hukar Aganev, eventually we find that this guy from Neresh was the Ganev, and now the original owner wants to get his safer back. What should happen is Reuven should have to go to the fellow from Mechuzah and pay him 80 zuz for shokol sifra and get back his sefer. As far as the fellow from Mechuzah he will go and get reimbursed the extra 40 zuz that he paid from the fellow from Papuna who sold it to him for 120. Meaning, in other words, that the whole concept of Takanas Ashuk only applies to the first lekeach, to Levi, not to the lekeach from the lekeach, which would be in this case over here. So therefore, so the Bar Mechuza, Yehuda, is not going to be entitled to, is not going to be entitled to Takanas Ashuk to collect his whole 120 from the original owner. He can only collect 80 from the original owner. He can collect 80 from the original owner, but the rest, the extra amount that he paid, he's going to have to collect from the buyer in between. But Maskif lo Rava, Rava asks why Hashkel Akeach Meganav Osre Takanas Ashuk. Fakir, if you're saying that even he bought directly from the Ganav and still we apply Takanas Ashuk because he couldn't have known Lakeach Melakeach Mebaya, how much more so if a Lakeach bought from another Lakeach? So of course there should be even more so Takanas Ashuk. El Amar Rava, so Rava says the other way around. Lazel Morid Sifra Vyov Le Bamhuza may have Esrim Zuzi. No. The owner of the original owner, Ruven, should go and give the person from Mechuza 120, which is how much he paid for it, the Shokel Sifre, and he'll get back the Sefer. The Lazel Morid Sifra Velishkal Aboy Mipapuna, Utman and Minar Shah. Now the owner himself, the original owner, Ruven, he wants his 120 back, which he just paid for it, so he'll get 40 from the fellow from Papuna, which is the 40 that that guy earned as profit on it, and 80 from the original Ganav from Neresh, and that way, in other words, so we will apply to Takanas Ashuk over here, and we will say the original owner is going to have to first pay the person from Mechuza the entire amount that he paid for it, and then he'll get reimbursed from the Ganav and from the first Lekeach the respective amounts, and that's how it is. Okay.